resolve on a D there. Nice. Cool. How do you feel about that? I sort of threw us around a little bit. So usually I will, well, not usually, sometimes I will sing the first line of what we're about to go into so we know what is coming next. But not always.
And can I pray with you? Let's pray with Melanie. She brings the word to us. So come, Holy Spirit. Father, Holly mentioned Acts where the Spirit came. It says that the apostles preached boldly. So, Father, would you just fill Melanie now with your Spirit, that she would speak your word boldly, without fear, and that you would anoint our ears and our hearts to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Simon, and thank you, Lord. Okay. I do not have many slides for you today, so I'm going to apologize in advance. For those of you who are visual people, I don't have that for you. However, if you do happen to have the church app on your phone, which I have spruiked for about a year now, if you don't have it, you should. But if you do, pop into sermons and you will find a whole set of notes there. You can follow along because I could do that in the car on the way here. So, I do believe there's something here today for us, because this is a word that I got many months ago, and I have wanted to share it here for a while, and then I had surgery, and then I was back in hospital, and then I got COVID, and then you name it, it's happened, and I've not been able to come and share. So many weeks after initially having said I would do this, I'm here. So I believe, and I am believing, that this is a word in season. So, Lord, would you speak through me and put me aside? Would you empower me to listen and to hear you and to speak as you direct this afternoon? But would you also soften each one here to receive from you? Thank you, Lord. I am going to read a section of the Bible with you from John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, hard copy or soft, I invite you to. We're going to read verses 1 to 17. It will be on the screen, and you can follow along that way. I'm actually going to ask everyone if you would please stand with me to read this. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Amen. It is a big chunk of verse, but it's important that you stay awake, and that's why I asked you to read it with me. Because I'm going to refer to a lot of this, and I want you to have read it so you know what I'm talking about. So thank you for bearing with me in that. So in verse 1, so if we are a branch attached to him, we are in the vine, we get everything we possibly need for life to flourish from the vine. We've spoken about this before, if you've been here to hear that, but everything we need is in Jesus. We have the opportunity to draw from him because he has given us his Spirit. It's his Spirit in us that gives us that life, that changes us. And he says in verse 4 that when we abide in him, we bear fruit. And this series that we've been looking at, How Do We Live Like Jesus in 2023, we've actually covered a lot of that. What does it look like to abide? It looks like resting in and with Jesus. It looks like praying and having a conversation with God, two-sided, talking to him and listening. It looks like reading the Word and getting to know the Father's heart, getting to know what God is all about, seeking him, and allowing the Spirit to transform our hearts and minds whilst we are abiding. And so he says, as you abide, as you do these things with me, as you hang out with me, you are going to bear fruit. Now, a lot of us first thing, fruits of the Spirit, great. But actually, I think when Jesus is referring to bearing fruit, in this case, he's actually talking about developing a Christ-like character. You are going to bear the fruit of Christ in character, in conduct, in your speech. You are going to be doing what Jesus did. You're going to be living like Jesus. And through this Christ-likeness, in verse 7, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done. Now, this is not, Lord, I really could do with $1 million today, please. It's not a wish like that. It's not a rub the lamp and here it is. It's not a selfish ambition. It might be that we go, you know what, Lord, we really need this $1 million because we actually want to sow it into your kingdom. I believe what Jesus was talking about here is that as you ask him, as you have abided with him, You've got to know the Father's heart. You're knowing what God is all about. You are becoming like Christ. And as you become like Christ, your heart is turned towards the Father. So your desires are about what the Father wants. It is about the kingdom come. And so what you are asking for then is in line with God's heart. And He wants to bless you with that because He wants you to be blessed as His child, but He wants to be glorified. When He blesses you with the things that you're asking for, you have a testimony. We celebrate this every month. What's God been doing in your life? What have you asked for? How has God met you this month? You have a testimony to glorify Him. Ask what you want when you've been abiding in Christ, and He will give it to you. As we head down to verse 12, we look at the commandment of Christ. Why are we doing all these things? Well, Jesus is asking us to love one another. And that is so much easier when we are Christ-like and our focus is on the kingdom. And again, we can do that because we have the Spirit in us. We are empowered exactly the same way Jesus was, to love others and to bring His kingdom to earth. I've had this conversation with a number of people, and I have had the question asked straight back at me, well, if I'm empowered by the Spirit, shouldn't I be able to do the cool things that Jesus did? Jesus prayed for the sick and they were healed. He prayed for the dead and they arose. Demons fled. Food multiplied. In fact, there were so many miracles in Jesus' life. What we have as a testimony to that in the New Testament is only a snippet of what He actually did in His lifetime. But we are empowered by the same Spirit. And we can actually do the same cool things that Jesus did, which I actually find really exciting, because otherwise, what would be the point? Jesus is saying, live like me. Well, I want to do that. But how? And why would I do that? Why? God is all about restoring people to relationship with Him. That's His end game. He wants to be in relationship with everyone. And so if we, who are already in relationship with Him, demonstrate God's love through miracles, through encouragement, through kindness, through mercy, and so many other ways, it's a little bit like a picture says 1,000 words. When we give a demonstration of God's love, when we ask God to move in power, it moves people closer to knowing God much faster than if you gave them 10 hours worth of sermon. And so as we get to verse 14 and 16, we get the how. It's abiding in Christ, being filled with the Spirit, and it means that we are Jesus's friend. I want to take a little side note at this point because, let me read it. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I'm not sure if it's the failure of the English language in this sentence or whether it's just my attitude towards it. It could be that, so Lord forgive me if it is. I read that and I go, so hold on, you're demanding that I do this stuff so that I can actually be in relationship with you. That's how that little verse 14 comes across to me. And I don't think that that's actually what it says at all. Because if you follow on just a little bit later, Jesus says, if you do it as I have loved you, Jesus has already done it. Now, when we look at friendships are reciprocal. You do, I do. You do, I do. You speak, share something, I'll speak and share something. You ask some questions, I'll ask some questions. You love, I love. There could be someone here, we might have a new visitor today, and I can pour out my heart to them. I can shower them in God's love and gifts. Does it mean we're friends if they walk away and I don't see them again and we don't ever talk again? It's a side note. I'm taking you where my thinking goes here because I think Jesus is saying, I've already loved you. I've already offered relationship and friendship to you. And if you join me in this, we are friends because we are doing this together. It's a you and me thing. And in that friendship, Jesus reveals the Father's heart. He says, Holy Spirit, share this information with them. Let them know what God wants them to do today. Hey, give them this encouragement. We get to know what the Father is all about and what he's doing because we are Jesus' friend. He reveals it to us. So, I'm just going to recap here because I don't have slides. We have the same spirit that Jesus had. It's in us. Holy Spirit empowers us in the same way the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. We have access to the Father and knowing what he wants to do if we abide in him. God wants to equip us and bless us as his children for his kingdom's glory. And if we keep our eyes on kingdom purpose, on what the Father wants us to do, we can step into it boldly and with courage through the power of the Holy Spirit as our friend Jesus reveals. But not all of us are born oozing with that kind of confidence. We don't all have the ability to just take a faith leap in any situation and miracles are going to happen. Just like children, we need to learn our capacity, our strengths and our weaknesses. We also need to learn to grow in the gifts that we're given. We need to learn how to depend on God and work with him as a team. We need to learn from our mistakes and see that they are actually growth opportunities. That it's okay to make a mistake and learn from it. And most of all, we need to learn that it's actually not all about us. It's about glorifying our Father. So in verse 12, we cannot bear fruit if we don't step into the calling to go and love one another. We can have confidence in stepping out, though. Because I found this interesting little bit in verse 16. Would you take a look at it with me? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Well, we've just talked about how we abide. How does our fruit abide? If I take the same things that we work through with us abiding, then I think it probably looks a little bit like this. Our fruit, that is, what happens after we have stepped into what Holy Spirit asks us to. We've released whatever it is God wants us to release. There's fruit. That fruit is his to deal with, not ours. It's not for us to embellish, to change, to try and control, to manipulate. It's the fruit that comes from what's in our heart. And that's God's to deal with now, whatever that looks like, whether it flourishes or whether it doesn't. It abides in God. Our fruit should be in line with the Word of God. Of course, if we've been abiding and we've been reading the Word, we're getting to know the Father's heart, then that imprints in our heart. God seals that in our hearts. And when the Word is in our heart, we operate from that basis. And so when we give the fruit is in the Word. It should line up with the love and grace and truth of God. And that fruit will come from our prayer, that we can actually, as fruit is released, we can actually pray for that fruit to flourish. We can continue stepping into that space. That fruit actually has nothing to do with our might or our power, but God's and God's alone. We want to keep giving God the glory, not us, not ourselves. So, we are empowered. That's established. We know we have the Holy Spirit. When do we see the stuff happen? In Mark 16, and I won't get us to turn there just now, but in Mark 16, it says that those who believe and are baptized, Jesus tells us, those who believe and are baptized will have signs of their faith in him. And he lists a bunch of signs there. In Acts, it comes again, you know, as you have the Spirit in you, signs of your faith will follow, miracles and more. But all of them, every single one, will point to the love of the Father. We have access to hearing what God wants us to do. It could be as simple as walking across the room to give someone some encouragement in what they're doing. But sometimes we need that prompting. Sometimes we need to hear the Spirit and be prompted just to walk across the room. Will you take the challenge? Holy Spirit, it's an invitation to you. Hey, come and follow me. Come and do this with me. Because I want you to bless this other person. I want you to love this other person. That's empowerment of the Spirit. It might be that you're meeting someone in hospital. It might be a dear friend, a family member, a stranger. And you sit with them and you're praying for cancer to die and flee and for healing to come. Maybe the Holy Spirit gives you a rise in faith to pray for that and declare the kingdom come in that space. Maybe the Holy Spirit's whispering in your ear and saying, hey, I know you don't have much, but would you give just a little bit of money to this person that you felt that tug in your heart? I want you to give to that person. Would you bless them from what you have? Maybe it's just hearing Holy Spirit say, hey, there's a scenario going on. You don't know anything about it, but I want you to intercede. Pray now. Pray, 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 pray now. And you need to intercede. Will you take that invitation from the Holy Spirit and partner with what he's empowered you to do? We are the place where heaven is released on earth. We are the individuals that the Father wants to partner with to see his kingdom come so that every person is restored to relationship with him. Heaven flows through us. His love is released to others through us. When I first came to Vineyard, to this fellowship, I did not know how to do most of that either. I had to actually hang out with those who knew more than I did. They may not have actually even known much more than I did, but they knew enough that they could step into teaching me. I hung out with them, and they discipled me. They taught me. I practiced with them. I prayed for them and with them for others. I listened to the Spirit and read the Word and generally tried to abide. I'm still learning to hear the Holy Spirit every day, and it still actually takes effort for me to hear the Spirit in conversation and different situations in my day. I'm still learning to pray for the sick with the authority that Christ has given me. And I haven't got to pray for the dead yet to arise. And I look forward to the day that maybe God wants to partner in that. But the point is, Jesus has actually told us how to do these things. We have strategies. And they're listed right here in John 15. Every day, we have a choice to abide in Jesus. Every day, we have a choice to seek opportunities to partner with what the Father is doing. We have a choice to practice stepping out and partnering with Holy Spirit and the invitation that is given to us. And we can also seek to be discipled by others. Finding that person who knows, even if it's just a little bit, they know more than you, and you say, hey, would you be my buddy to go and pray for this person? I feel this thing in my heart and I want to pray, but if I have you with me, you can help me pray deeper, further, for more. You might hear something that then bounces to me and Holy Spirit says something more to me. Partner with people. Seek to be discipled and live a life empowered by Jesus.